Hi, everybody. Welcome to Evoke Therapy Program's broadcast. And today we have the privilege of welcoming Travis Slagle as we continue our series and bringing on our Evoke staff and learning about them and having an introduction to them. We're so happy to have Travis Slagle as our clinical director and glad to welcome him today to the podcast. So welcome to the podcast, Travis.
Thanks for having me.
Really glad to have you on the team, not just the podcast. So glad you could join us for this. I like to always start off with kind of your background, your story. Tell us about your journey that led to you becoming the clinical director of Evoke Intensives. And specifically in that journey, what has inspired you to become a therapist?
Yeah, my journey to being a therapist, I think it starts really with kind of early childhood, and I would think I was born a very sensitive, curious kid, and I think part of that experience of really understanding, you know, where my curiosity comes from and where my sensitivity comes from and how to use it, I think in a lot of ways has been my lifelong journey, and I think my curiosity led me to really be eager to learn about people and nature and the way that kind of life evolves. And I think my sensitivity, I think especially at a younger age, was a piece that allowed me to be very intuitive and to feel things in the environment and in relationships before I really fully understood them. And I think that if you would have talked to me when I was 16 or 18 years old, I would have thought there is no way I would ever be a counselor. I remember actually going to family counseling and feeling like it was, you know, having the arguments with my family after on the ride home from the counselor and thinking there has to be a better way. And kind of fast forward through my experience in college and then graduate school of really starting to dive into how to communicate and how to understand emotional experiences. And through that process, seeing relationships and dynamics in the natural environment and understanding that, you know, as people and in my own journey and my curiosity, my sensitivity has always made me kind of drawn towards the natural world and realizing that, you know, I think that nature has always been my biggest teacher in life. So all of those types of experiences started my first job out of college, leading a backpacking trip in a wilderness therapy program for inner city youth and for teenagers, adjudicated kids. And at the time I was mostly just an outdoor enthusiast and maybe just a kind of armchair philosopher in some ways. But I through that experience, it really showed me something about who I am and what I really love to do, which is to help people connect and find meaning in their lives. And I discovered some parts of myself, I think even from that early childhood, that part of my curiosity and my sensitivity that allowed me to be with other people in ways that were, I think, profound and raw and authentic. And in that process, it really became an understanding of, I think I have something that I want to cultivate in my life professionally to be able to help others and to connect and find meaning. And I think in that process, I think the other part of it that really spoke to me is I believe the journey of becoming a therapist is a process of lifelong learning. And I loved the idea of creating a professional identity around lifelong learning and my own personal growth and healing in my own families and my family of origin and my relationships so that I could show up and be my best self. And I think that's what really drew me to Evoke Intensives, because in my process, I've worked in wilderness therapy, I've worked in outpatient therapy, I've worked in residential, I've operated as a primary therapist, a family coach, program administrator, clinical director. And I think in all of that process in discovering Evoke Intensives was seeing an opportunity to really provide something different and really challenge the status quo. And that is what really gets me excited about working in this program, is really the depth of the experience and how quickly you can help others be able to experience a real fundamental shift in their lives and to be able to provide the safety, emotional safety and space for folks to find meaning. And I think when we find meaning and understanding in ourselves, we become more accessible for others, and we're a safer person to be in relationship with. And so I think that there's so many layers to that. That's not only just a professional opportunity, but I think it's also a personal opportunity too. So realizing that that is really kind of the foundation of the intensives program is to really live the work and to provide something that really challenges what is kind of the status quo in traditional therapy is such a cool opportunity. And I'm really grateful that I get to be an integral part in the development of it. So that's a long story short, from early childhood to where I am today, but that's really what gets me excited about being a therapist and being at Evoke.
So was there something specific about what, you know, you've been with us a relatively short period of time, although you have vast experience in the field of therapy, was there something about the idea of intensives that attracted you to it, that made it stand out for you as something to pursue?
Absolutely. I really love the psychodrama work, and I believe in, I just wholeheartedly believe in experiential therapies. And that's been something that has been a place of curiosity for me professionally since the beginning, and discovering the approach at Evoke. And I think the underlying foundation and attachment theory, just it immediately resonated. It immediately kind of caught my attention as something that is, I think, fundamentally different, and ultimately it challenges the status quo of the way that therapy is done. And I think even just my experience as an adolescent going to family therapy, sitting in an office for 50 minutes and feeling like it made things worse. And I didn't, as a 16-year-old, 17-year-old, didn't quite understand what wasn't working, but I knew it wasn't working. And so I think throughout my career professionally, I've always looked for something that offers an alternative. And I think that intensives certainly meet that and much more, because of the depth, the brevity, the efficiency of being able to get into the core issue really quickly. I think the other piece that I'm just so excited about, and I think it's something that it needs to be said more often, is how do therapists work with resistance? And I think that says a lot about a clinical framework and a programmatic philosophy. And I think Evoke Intensives does a beautiful job of, you know, helping create a safe space to invite a human being to have a confrontation with themselves, and to do that in a way that is gentle and compassionate and holds space, versus, you know, oftentimes I work with clients that will say, you know, push me, you know, be sure to push me and challenge me and call me out. And I think that call me out kind of mantra, while, you know, it might look good on the surface, it doesn't lend itself to genuine insight. It starts to, you know, put the therapist in the role of the hijacker. And so all of a sudden, you know, we're the ones that are doing the interpretation and presenting the information in a way that doesn't allow the client to really have that discovery within themselves. And ultimately, without that discovery and that felt experience of that insight, it just becomes a mental construct. And mental constructs don't last long. The mind just kind of moves on to the next thing. And if you have a fundamentally felt experience of something different and something that means something to you, that you discovered through your own hard work, that has a transformative potential. So I think that those were the pieces that really stuck out to me about the intensives program, was the approach to resistance, the focus on attachment, the ability to provide a very different experience in therapy, something that's experiential and brief and depth oriented. It was just kind of a match made in heaven for me.
And this can apply to kind of what you're talking about with the intensive work, but also just being a therapist. What is it that you love about this work? What is it that you love about your job, about being in the role of a therapist?
Yeah. Well, I love stories. I think I have, you know, I think in my heart of hearts, I'm passionate about helping people connect to their stories, make meaning from their stories, to find empathy and compassion, and creating a space where I can really, you know, kind of have a shared experience with them, to kind of step in their story, and be part of that experience with them. And In many ways, it's the ally on the hero's journey. You know, you get to show up and have a brief moment in time where you reflect something back about that story that's personal for them. And then I get to take that experience from my own personal life and grow from it. I think that every client I've worked with has taught me something. And every story that I've been witness to has given me a window into my own personal history and my own, you know, evolution and growth as a person. So I think on one hand, you know, I have a very idealistic and humanitarian kind of response to that of like, I want to help people. And I think there's another part of it that I also am helping myself too. And I think that in that being connected to that human experience is something that is such a gift. It's such a gift. And I feel always humbled to be able to have that shared experience, even for a brief amount of time. So it's something that just keeps me showing up every day and curious and eager to see what new discovery might come out. And so it's a real gift.
You know, we talked about this early on, you know, as you were coming on board with us, about your love for family work and your belief in the family and the parent work. And so with that background, you already came with that. I guess my next question is, and you've touched on this a little bit, but what makes intensive different? I mean, for you, even the bulk of the time you've been with us, we've been virtual, right? Because of during the pandemic, so most of it has been online. But even with that, can you talk about your experience about what makes the intensive process, the intensive program, different from some of the other approaches that you've been involved in that I've been involved in before this work, and reaching families and reaching young people?
Yeah. Well, I'd say a couple of pieces that make it different. And from my experience, I think that the context, the actual experience itself, it lends itself to a very deep, connected experience very quickly. I have worked in the past in different programs in different places where, you know, the amount of time that goes into getting to where you need to be to really address the core issue can be sometimes months, if not even years. And I have experienced in the intensives at Evoke the opportunity to really get at the core issue, you know, very quickly. And I believe that how intensives is different and how that's possible, I believe, is because of the attachment theory that's underlying the intervention and the overall framework of the program. I believe the other piece that I think is very important, and I think that this is based on my experience working in many, many programs, and you know, and I believe this is partly for you, Brad, is having founders and visionaries who are invested in their own personal process makes a huge difference. It creates a culture where all therapists, everybody that's part of the team is seeing the founders and the visionaries practicing what they preach. And I believe that sends an implicit message ripples into the experience and the culture of the program that allows that to then show up in our interactions with clients. And so the level of authenticity that clients are experiencing with our therapists, I believe, is profound, partly because of how, I mean, frankly, Brad, you're role modeling that, and Rick is role modeling that, and so many of the other founders and visionaries of the program are role modeling that. So I believe that makes a very big difference. The other thing I think is also important that I think I spoke to earlier is just our philosophy around resistance and recognizing that, you know, the blind spots that we are inherently trying to address require a lot of compassion and gentleness versus an aggressive confrontation. And I believe that the gentle approach and the mindful kind of way of being able to access that experience that is so sensitive and guarded also makes intensives very different. And I think that whereas, you know, you might have some experience somewhere else of, you know, kind of pushing somebody beyond their limits or really just kind of spelling it out for them, this is what you need to work on, or you need to own, you know, these five things, these five mistakes or failures. It just, that's just not me. And I don't believe that actually that's good therapy. While it might look good on a Hollywood movie, I don't believe that that's sound therapy. I think that it's easy for us in our roles to kind of point out all the issues and tell somebody to grow up or take accountability or, you know, be responsible for X, Y, and Z. But I just think that on a deeper level, the individuals, we all as human beings have to find that wisdom in ourselves. And if we're not creating the right environment, therapeutic framework to allow people to discover that, then we're just, you know, being armchair philosophers. And I don't feel like that's actually going to make the difference that we're looking for and that the individuals that are coming to our program are asking for.
Thank you for that. I'm wondering if I want to talk about the pandemic just a little bit. I don't want to talk about that the entire time because hopefully this pandemic won't last forever and this podcast episode will. But given the pandemic and the stress that everybody is under, the impact of the pandemic on all of us, including you and me and our families, are you seeing anything different with clients? Are you seeing everything as people come to the intensive? What is this pandemic and the consequences? What is this adding to the mental health equation as you see clients walk through the door?
Yeah, such a very poignant, timely topic. And it is, again, going back to that earlier reflection about being able to, you know, experience another person's story. And there's so many stories of each different circumstance, but also existing within this context that we're all sharing in of this pandemic. And I think there's some pieces that have been very surprising. One is that I just had an alumni group that we were facilitating a couple of days ago. And there were several reflections that I've been hearing from that group and also very in like different interactions with families and individuals where there is a recognition that this experience has a potential for personal transformation, that amidst the suffering and the uncertainty and the anxiety and the stress, we are all in some kind of collective way going through a birthing process. And we don't really know what's going to come out on the other end. And to have that, you know, amidst the real sense of grief and loss, you know, the just the profound sense of suffering and fear that is permeating the collective conscious. And then to have the greater awareness that that is very much what the hero's journey is about. And that we are all going through some form of a portal, as scary as it may be, and as overwhelming as that feels in my own process of being a father, as a professional, and as a husband, it has forced me to face things in ways that I believe ultimately can lead to greater health and wholeness, and slowing me down, slowing the world down, and causing each individual to have to reprioritize what matters. And so not only is it more stressful and anxiety provoking and so disorienting in many ways, there's also some reverberations of hope and some real profound ways that this could be an element of transformation if we take the time and have the right, I think, community to hold that experience and that reflection. So I found that in the intensives with our alumni, with our group experiences, or with our private intensives that we're having, everybody is being forced to slow down. And I think in slowing down, it can be very disorienting and scary because a lot of times we stay busy just to kind of, you know, get compartmentalized some of the underlying feelings.
Right.
But I also think that in that slowing down, it's caused us to have to have a deeper awareness of who we are and what, where we want to be.
Thank you. This next question kind of comes in a context. I mean, the context is, you know, you're taking on the role of being in charge of our coaching program, right? Our private online virtual therapeutic experience of coaching. You're going to be the one that the point person that people go to ask about getting a coach, getting somebody to help them continue with this work one-on-one. And so in that context, that we get so many, you and I get so many questions about what to look for in a therapist. So that's the context of this question. And the question is, what has been your transformation as a therapist over the years? What are some of the ways that you've changed from your early perspectives as a therapist to the way that you think about therapy now, the lessons you've learned and the transformation you've made in your journey as a therapist?
Yeah. Well, I love that question. And I hope that it continues to evolve. So I'm super excited to see the kind of therapist I can be 20 years from now. So, but where I'm at in my journey and seeing where I was, I think in the beginning, I think there was a lot of this need to try to have the answers, to try to, I think have a clinical summarization or a way of conceptualizing a case very quickly, you know, assuming that I somehow have it all figured out before the client does. And I realized that in my journey, it's so empowering for me and it's so empowering for the people I work with to not need to have the answer. And in some ways, allowing there to be no solution really addresses the underlying need of problem solving and overcompensating and codependency that shows up with needing to kind of arbitrarily come up with an answer or have a solution that really is just a process of evolving and our own, you know, personal growth process. So I think that I think one piece of that is just letting go of the need to be the expert and really just being genuinely curious and having the confidence and the lived experience professionally to have been in many crises with many people and have seen many different types of presentations and presenting concerns and to have a sense of calm in that storm. I think that's another piece for me is that I was much more jittery when I was a younger therapist. I remember going to my supervisor and saying, "Oh my gosh, well, this person is showing these symptoms, and what should I do?" And I don't have that experience as often or much at all anymore. I feel just a general sense of calm in the storm, and I think that provides a place of safety. So when people are feeling in a place of chaos, they can be in relationship with somebody who is even keel and can really listen. Doesn't need to have an answer. Doesn't need to explain it. Just to be present. And I think that the lesson in life, just like the lesson in therapy, is to try to not get in your own way. And I think that that's a lesson I'm continuing to learn.
I was just sharing with my wife, who's also a therapist, the other day that a client came to me with a problem that I had no experience. I think it was a woman who had an issue based on being a woman that I had literally no experience with. And what I told my wife is, I love those kind of moments because those are moments when I'm not tempted to offer a simple solution because I have none.
Right.
That I have so little experience with it that I get to just be with my client and their difficulty and sometimes what I call their unsolvable problems. To find people that can be with us in our unsolvable problems, it's the last kind of thing that we can do for each other, especially, you know, we're all dealing with a pandemic right now that for right now is unsolvable for all of us. And that's something we can do for each other. Absolutely. From the past to the future, Travis, did you want to say something about that?
No, I was just saying, absolutely. I really love that unsolvable problem reflection and being with another person really in relationship versus needing to have some kind of, I think a power differential where one person's the expert and the other one is not. I think we all get to be the experts of our own life.
Right. From the past, looking toward the future, you know, part of why we love having you on board is because you have vision, you have ideas, you want to move this thing forward. So share with us a little bit about your vision about where the intensives are going, what you hope to create in the future with the intensive program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I have, so I am an idealist at heart. So I have lots of big ideas and hopes and dreams about where intensives is today and where it can go. And I think one of the pieces that I've been really focused in on is creating a continuum of care, really allowing the intensive in many ways to be a rites of passage for many individuals to really, you know, there is a profound shift that happens for many of our participants. They can refer back to their first finding you, and they can say, like, when I went through that experience, something happened, and I haven't been the same since. And I think that, you know, in a lot of ways, that is kind of the quintessential rite of passage experience. This, you know, this point in time when you can look back on that on that continuum of events and say, this was a moment that changed me. I don't quite understand how. I don't quite understand what it did or what particular thing, but I have felt different ever since. And so my hope is that, you know, the vision at Intensives is that we can create a community that really rallies around that experience and provides, I think, in some ways, the extra support for integration. Because I think one of the biggest things that I've learned in rites of passage work is that, you know, many of us, we want to be the threshold guides, you know, meaning that we want to be in that raw place, you know, with another human being. But oftentimes what gets lost is the practical application. It's going out, coming from that intensive and then saying, so what do I do now? What do I do with this information and this felt experience? How do I put it into practice? And I really want to start building, and we're already in the process. I think the coaching is a great example of that, providing that extra, the extra integration, really, to bring that experience to life. I think another piece that's going to be really, really powerful for intensives is that we are building a team of some phenomenal therapists. And it is just such an honor to work with so many fantastically talented people. And it's just it's really, really awesome to see this team coming into shape. And I see that being the foundation to providing more customized program options, you know, for individual families to be able to have a private intensive and also to have follow-up and aftercare built into that. So you're working with your intensive therapist after your program and really being able to look at what that experience was like, and then how do you take that information and that experience and put it into practice. I also think that in the future, my hope is that as we move through the pandemic and wherever we get to on the other side, we can have more destination intensives, really just providing a more of an international presence to reach the, and we have clients in Australia and Africa and Europe and Asia and all sorts of places that are really hungry for this. They're reading your books, they're asking for support. And I think, you know, it's a big leap to get on an airplane and fly, you know, 18 hours to an intensive. And I think there's a lot of opportunity that we can get out there and come to you. So I think that those are just a small taste of the many ideas I have kind of cooking. And I'm very excited to see where it can go.
Well, I'm up for the travel. I'm up for traveling to Africa and Australia and Asia. So sign me up for those. I was thinking, Travis, I don't know if you thought about this at this moment of our recording this podcast, our wonderful staff are actually running a Finding You right now. I don't know if that hits you, but I agree with you. I think you're building a remarkable team.
Yep. It's amazing. Yeah, it really is. And I, you know, and the other piece that I think, you know, to mention is that the accessibility, I mean, not only going mobile and going to these destination spots, but our online programming is profound. And I think it has been transformative for all of us and really being able to push the limits of what you can do virtually and to be able to provide a Finding You experience that provides that profound shift that people are looking for online. It's beautiful. It's also, I think, in some ways surprising. And so often I get the feedback from our participants that they didn't expect it to be so deep. They didn't expect to have such a deep connection to folks when they are, you know, doing their work through a screen. So I think that's another really, I think, powerful opportunity, again, going back to accessibility, just to be able, there's such a demand for it, and be able to meet that demand in person and virtually.
I was completely skeptical of it. In fact, we did our first online one right before you came on board, or as you were coming on board, and we charged less than half of what we're charging now, because I was like, I don't think this is going to work. And of course, after a day and a half of our 2.5 day experience, I was feeling that kind of surprise and shock that you're describing, that people feel that the depth was there. And there were some parts of it that I liked even better as a facilitator. And you know, the other thing is that it's less expensive because there's less overhead. So there's another accessibility piece in all of that I think is a wonderful component for it.
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about you personally, what you like to do for fun. I want to say self-care, but I think what you like to do for recreation and fun is kind of the same question, right? To self-care. Tell us a little bit about what you like to do when you're not working.
Yeah. Well, I am a master gardener, and I guess I use that master gardener lightly. I think that gardening is something for me that just continually teaches me about the dynamics of life and being really connected to things that are growing in the natural environment. And, you know, whether it's planting, you know, a raised bed with tomatoes or planting fruit trees that, you know, we'll be picking fruit from 30 years from now. There's something about that experience for me that has actually been with me for a very long time. I actually remember very early memory of digging in my grandma's garden bed in her backyard in Kansas and digging up worms and planting rose bushes. And, you know, and I never expected that I would just become this gardening junkie. And I just, you know, my spare time, you know, between all the other things that I have managing, I might, you know, do some Google search about, you know, different types of, you know, pole beans versus bush beans, or, you know, what kind of, you know, a cherry tomato versus, you know, an early spring tomato. And I there's something about it just for me, I just am hooked. So that's definitely this permeating part of my life is being a gardener and learning and growing in that experience in a lot of different ways. I think another part of me that is my self-care is my kind of passion is music. And when I was in high school, I wanted to play guitar, and there was somebody that one of my teachers was going to host a guitar class. And basically you could take an elective course in high school on guitar. And I didn't really read the fine print, but it was a classical guitar class. I thought I was going to be learning how to play rock and roll, but it was classical guitar. The teacher was such a disciplined and very structured, really. I mean, she was a hard teacher. I walked in there with a rock and roll acoustic guitar, and she said, you know, you need to leave right now and go get nylon strings and, you know, and basically print out some Mozart, and you're going to learn how to read music, and you are going to start learning the foundation of music, which was the classics. And I was overwhelmed, scared, but also really intrigued too. It was something that just connected to me, and all of a sudden I just got hooked, and I started playing classical guitar hours and hours a day. And I feel like that was a life-changing experience for me. And I still today, so I still play rock and roll, all sorts of acoustic, you know, and electric and just, you know, having garage bands and such, but the classical guitar foundation was something that I am just so grateful for. And it still continues to be a place where if I'm picking up a guitar, and especially one with nylon strings, I can jump right into playing some Mozart or Bach or something that I learned and memorized when I was 17 years old. And so that's been a big part of my life. And I think the other piece is that it's just, you know, I love being a father and being, you know, a family man. And I love to cook. I love to go travel. I love to see my kids, you know, going out into the natural world and discovering new things and sharing those experiences with them. I spent 10 years or more living on the Big Island of Hawaii. And in that experience, just so many rich opportunities to connect with the natural world. And, you know, the opportunity to swim with manta rays with my kids and, you know, go, you know, tuna fishing off the Kona coast, or, you know, planting bananas and coconuts and pineapples. And that is a reference point in my life that will always be, you know, just a really beautiful connecting experience. And I think anywhere I go, I am drawn towards the natural world and adventure and sharing that with my kids.
Well, I know that you know this because we've talked about it, but we're really excited to have you on board because of all you bring clinically and with your vision. And selfishly, I just started the guitar, so I'm looking forward to that. And as I told you, I want to start gardening. And so selfishly, I also get to take advantage of your passions as you move to Utah.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to learning from you in those areas. So absolutely. I appreciate, Travis, all that you've brought, your enthusiasm, your wealth of experience, your perspective, your passion, your vision. I appreciate all of it. And I'm going to be grateful for the guitar and the gardening coming soon also.
Yeah, it's coming soon. I'm excited for it too. And looking forward to getting there, and appreciate taking the time today and sharing a little bit about myself, and look forward to, you know, connecting with anybody, any listeners out there that want to reach out feel free to you can reach me at my email at travis@evoketherapy.com. And I'd love to be able to introduce you and get you part of the intensive community.
Thanks, Travis. Thanks for joining us. And thank all of you for listening in. And I hope these introductions to our staff, our wonderful and amazing therapists at Evoke Therapy Programs and Evoke Intensives, is helpful for you to get a little glimpse into who we are and what we do. Take care. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Talk, no time.